We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
About 3 years ago, I saw a video, and it stayed with me, and it really resonated with me, but I just wasn't able to find the time to be able to share it with the church. And so as I was praying this month about what to preach and what to teach and way to steer the church for this entire month of missions, in the course of a week, the video was forwarded to me twice. And I didn't want God to have to tell me a third time. And so the video you're about to see, it's very shocking. It's not a graphic video in that sense. It's a statistical video. And it's going to paint a picture for you that I think some of us maybe are not as aware of as we could be or maybe should be. When the video's over, I want to come up and share a few things. And then I'm going to invite Dr. Shoemaker to come and speak. And so we're going to watch the video.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities, such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million. A 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
I don't know how many of you may be familiar with that video or have seen that before. It's three, four years old. The current statistics, of course, if you paid close attention, maybe you took some notes, I'm not sure, but if you listened to what was happening, if the current statistics were accurate then, you can imagine that they're only increasing today. But I want to ask us all a question tonight. And the question is this: when you watch that video, what do you feel and what do you think? And don't answer out loud, but here's what I want us to think about tonight. Some of us may have gotten angry when we watched that. Some of us may be thinking, what can we do to stop it immediately? Some of us may be thinking, this can't be happening. I don't even believe the statistics. Some of us might be thinking, I hate Muslims. I don't want them here. I know what I was thinking the first few times I saw the video. And here's what I want us to think about. If that video scares you or makes you worried or nervous, okay. But let me say this. Did the video excite you because you're thinking to yourself now, wow, there's a whole new mission field headed our way? You see, most of us need to come to the reality is we can't stop that. Some of us are thinking, well, we'll do something. You're not. You're not going to stop it. But what we have to realize is there is a force much more powerful out there, and it is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? And we as a country and as a culture, if we're going to change, it's going to begin in the church house, not the White House. Okay? And I say that to you tonight because I don't think ever before in my heart has my heart beat so strong for the local church and for God's church and for His people and believers. Several years ago, Dr. Shoemaker invited me, and I was very honored to sit on his board that he instituted and started Church Planting America. And I wasn't really sure how that was going to look, and I don't even know that I love you, Doc. I don't even know that you were sure how it was completely going to look. But I knew we had a vision. And here's what I want us to understand tonight. this year in America, close to 6,000 churches are going to close. Now, you just saw the statistics, right? Only one out of 10 pastors who graduate from seminary or Bible college will actually finish up in the ministry, which means nine are going to drop out. Every day, about 100 pastors walk away from the ministry. Now, you add that statistical information into the mix of what you just saw, and we're not just on a downward spiral. We are completely inverted. We have to do something to stop the trend. And one of the things that I believe passionately about, not only in the local church, but is planting and starting more local churches. Because as churches are closing their doors in our country, and I can attest to you that in England, there are so many churches that, as you well heard, you walk by them now, they're now mosques. Churches that used to be red hot with the gospel, churches that were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are now spreading the lies of Islam. We're about 20 years behind England. Church, I beg us tonight to look around this auditorium and see the banners that are hanging that says, Jesus, hope of the nations. God is still doing His greatest work today in the church. That is where His greatest work is occurring. And I believe one of the greatest things we can do is not only partner with missionaries who are going further afield, and we need them to go. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the George family who were trying to get into Turkey and they weren't able to go, and now they're in Albania. The government figured out what they were doing and said, you're not coming in, so they've had to detour and they're making trips into Albania. I believe we need men and women to go to those countries, but church, if we don't stay strong and healthy at home and we don't plant more churches here, we're accelerating what we just saw in this video clip. And so I want to ask you to do a couple things tonight. Number one, I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. Pray for the churches in America. Pray for our church, Faith Baptist Church. Pray for those pastors that are out there who are wanting to walk away and quit. For churches that are imploding and folding. And then let's continue to get behind not only the mission program of our church, but I want us to partner, as we already have been for years. I want us to continue that strong partnership with seeing healthy churches planted in the United States. Amen? I want to invite Dr. Shoemaker to come at this time. He's no stranger here. Many of you know about him, his story, his life. I've asked him to come tonight and to speak with intentionality on the purpose and the need for starting healthy churches here in America. And so can we welcome tonight as he's here to speak for us.
All right. Take your Bible to the book of Romans tonight, if you would. Chapter 10 this evening. Romans chapter 10. What a delight to be back here with you. Great time of worship and singing tonight. I appreciate that so very much. We, my wife Sharon and I, were in Carrabelle this morning. If you know where that is, it's amazing if you would know where Carrabelle is, because it's just tucked away almost nowhere. But nonetheless, we were in a church there this morning and drove over here about 4.5, almost 5 hours to get here tonight. And we're happy to be here. Happy that trip's over, and we're happy to be with you folks tonight. Look forward to being here to help kick off your missions month. That's, to me, that's the most exciting. Some churches have a missions week or conference. Some have a missions month. I like the month because it gives a stronger emphasis on this whole issue of missions and church planting and evangelization. So we're delighted to be part of that. I'm happy the pastor showed up this time. The last time I was here, he wasn't here. And as you recall, he was over in England. And I'm glad he's not goofing off anymore. He came to church tonight. And he's here. We're glad about that. Building looks great. The balcony, happy to see some folks up there tonight. Yeah, wave to me. That's great. And these rooms I haven't checked out, but that's great progress. So things are moving along. We're happy about all that. We do have some literature in the back, some brochures about our ministry, a prayer card. You can, as I like to say, put it in your Bible or on the refrigerator, whichever one you go to most, and pray for us in our ministry of church planting. We've had a full evening. That video was certainly eye-opening tonight. And so I'm not going to preach a long message tonight. Someone said a good sermon need not be long and a bad sermon should not be long. So we're going to just jump right into it tonight. Romans chapter 10, one verse this evening. Romans 10 verse 1, Paul writes, speaking about his country, his people. And in verse 1 he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, as Americans, I don't believe we do any injustice to this text or this passage of Scripture to somewhat translate that. Our prayer to God for America is that she might be saved. Amen. You know, we talk often about America being a Christian nation. Folks, we are very, very far from that this evening. There's no question about that. I understand historically, I understand the founding of our country. I'm well read on all of that, and I'm very grateful for the foundation of our country and the Christian heritage. But folks, we have gone away from that. And we need, as your pastor has so eloquently stated tonight, we need to be concerned about what's going on here in America. You know, in political terms, the question is often asked, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? You know, I think it was Ronald Reagan who asked that question in a debate when he was first running for president. And any sensible person came to the conclusion they weren't. But you know, I think as a nation, that's really not the right question. I think we need to be asking, as a nation, are we better off today than we were 50 or 60 years ago? Let's go back a generation, at least. Are we better off than we were a generation ago? In other words, do we have stronger morals? Do we have greater integrity? Do we have deeper spirituality in our nation today? And I submit to you that while we have progressed in technology and military might and some other areas, we have digressed spiritually.
Yes.
No question about it. So like the Apostle Paul, I am burdened for our country, and I believe you are as well. But what's the answer? What's the hope? What's the biblical solution to the challenge that we're facing this evening? What needs to be done? What does God desire? What does He expect? Without question, as your pastor mentioned, part of that answer is church planting here in America. You know, someone said the mission of the church is missions, but the mission of missions is church planting. Get that into your heart. The mission of the church is missions. But at the very core of missions, the mission of missions is church planting. Church planting around the world, yes, and here in the United States. Go to the book of Acts for a moment, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, you're familiar with this. It's one of the passages that give to us what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission, of course, spoken by Jesus to His people, the church. We find it in Matthew, we find it in Mark, we find it in Luke, we find it in John, and here we find it in the book of Acts. It's our mandate. It's what He expects us to do. It's our responsibility. It's great because of the one who gave it to us. It's not a preacher commission. It's not a pastor commission. It's not a religious commission. It's not a church commission. It is a God commission. That's why it's the Great Commission. And in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And by the way, we'll never succeed without God's power. We can have charisma, and we can have strategy, and we can have personality, and we can have technology, and we can have all kinds of things, but if we lack the power of God, we'll never succeed at accomplishing the task that God has appointed to us. So He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem," that was their home base, "and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Do you understand tonight, missions is not just about reaching one or the other. It's not a decision between, okay, we're going to spend all of our money to reach the world or all of our money here in the United States. We are to do both. And if we do both, that is, if we invest some of our resources here, that will help us do more over there. Many churches do not get that. Many churches fail to grasp the importance of what I believe your pastor is endeavoring to communicate to you tonight by way of that video. If we do not make church planting a priority in the United States, that will ultimately hinder our ability to reach the uttermost part of the world. We have to do it here. The key, of course, strong, healthy churches at home. Churches with great vision, churches with great faith, churches with great leadership, churches with great determination, churches that are willing to invest resources to get the job done, the job that God has assigned. Several years ago, God led me to launch this mission agency endeavor that your pastor spoke of, devoted completely to planting churches here in the United States. Currently, in just roughly over 4 years, we're now working with 20 church planters in the United States, in 15 different states. Just within the last 4 or 5 weeks, and the number I'm about to give you or what I'm about to say would not be included in these 20, but I've received phone calls from 2 young men going to Oregon, 1 to Washington, 1 to Maryland, 1 to Boise, Idaho. Not included in the 20. The reality is I can hardly keep up with the demand, the workload. God is doing something to stir the hearts of the Lord's people, and young men and their wives are surrendering for the task of planting churches. And we've got to help them do that. We can't just stand back and pat them on the back and say, well, God bless you. It takes resources. It takes money. It takes technology. It takes all kinds of things after they have God's power on their life and God's call. But to many people, the million-dollar question remains, why plant churches here in America? Don't we have enough churches? The answer is no. And very rapidly tonight, I want to share with you 8 reasons why we must plant churches here in America. I'm going to give them to you quickly tonight. First of all, because church planting is biblical. Church planting is biblical. We have to get that. Again, it is not just some made-up concept. It is not just something that I invented or your preacher invented or somebody else invented. It is founded and grounded in the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul was many things, was he not? Certainly was a great theologian. Gave us the book of Romans. Gifted writer, half the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was an ardent soul winner, witnessing to kings and runaway slaves. But if Paul was anything, he was a missionary church planter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7. Paul said, I have planted, he's speaking about the church at Corinth, Apollos, another preacher, another pastor, watered, but God gave the increase. Not exciting. See, Paul said, yes, God used me to plant the church. But then he used Apollos to come along after Paul's planting of the church as the next pastor to water it, to take it further. But he said, don't forget this. It was God that gave the increase. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Boy, it takes us back to what we were singing about earlier tonight. It's all about Him. Now, we can be His vessels. We can be His mouthpiece. We can do the assignment that He gives to us, but at the end of the day, it's really all about Him. Pointing people to Him. Church planting is biblical. A careful reading of the book of Acts reveals that Paul and others planted churches in key cities, Derbe, Lystra, Antioch, Philippi, Corinth, Ephesus, Thessalonica, constantly throughout Scripture. They did it then, and we need to do it now. We need to follow their biblical example and the pattern that God ordained to plant churches. But there's a second reason. Number two, not only because church planting is biblical, but secondly, because the local church is God's instrument to spread the gospel. It's God's instrument to spread the gospel. Folks, let me say it this way. We don't need fewer churches propagating the message of the cross. We need more. Not fewer, more. Thousands of churches, as your preacher cited earlier, thousands of churches in the United States will close their doors. In fact, if you go back the last 10 years in our country, on average, over the last decade, 3,750 churches every single year shut their doors. And that number's rising. It's not decreasing. In other words, we don't have fewer churches closing. We have more churches closing today than we had the last decade. Do you realize that there are communities, subdivisions, neighborhoods without gospel preaching churches? It's hard to understand, but they're there. Here's another interesting thought. New churches win, on average, 10 people to Christ per year for every 100 members. Churches over the age of 15 years in existence win on average 3 people to Christ per year for 100 members. In other words, new churches are over 3 times more effective in evangelizing than established churches. Part of that is very simple. The older a church is, And as it gets its building and facilities and programs, it's easy to become a keeper of the aquarium instead of a fisher for men. And it happens. We've got to worry about who's going to vacuum the floor and who's going to cut the grass and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. In a new church, listen, I've done it. There's nothing else to worry about but winning people to Jesus Christ. You don't have a building to maintain. When Sharon and I started the first church we started, we knocked on 8,000 doors the first year ourselves. 8,000. There was nobody to counsel. There were no troubled members. We didn't have any members. We averaged 10 people the first month. That's it. But on our 4-month anniversary, 111 people showed up. By the 9-month anniversary, 130 people showed up. And you just watch it grow. It's exciting. Local church is God's instrument to carry out the gospel. Let me give you the third one. Because America is a true mission field. A true mission field. Only 8.9% of the population of our country, I want you to get this, only 8.9% of the population of our country attends an evangelical church on any given weekend. 8.9%. That means 90% of our country would not attend a church like this on a given weekend. 16.5% of the population of our country would attend any kind of Christian church. Any church that has the label Christian. God preach the gospel, Catholic, you name it, whatever. whether they preach the gospel or do not preach the gospel, if it has the word Christian, only 16.5% of our country. That is taken from a massive survey of churches, over 200,000 churches in our country were surveyed to achieve those numbers, to get that data. I'm telling you, there are people right here in our country, your neighborhood, my neighborhood, that are without Jesus Christ. They're right there. Then let's go to the point that was made in the video. Number four. Because America's population is expanding at a record rate, but let me explain why. If you start in 1990 and go to 2006, 1990 to 2006, that's a 17-year span, we had 68,510,978 births in our country. Now, you don't have to get all these numbers, but just kind of get the general idea. 68.5 million births. But we had 22,873,573 immigrants enter our country. Exactly what he was pointing out. How many of them were Muslim? I don't know. But no doubt millions of them. Then we had 39,611,000 people die during that 17-year span. So if you take the births, you take the immigration, you subtract the deaths, here's what you get. In 17 years, you get a net population gain in our country of 51,773,556 people, which is just about the size of England. In 17 years, we gave birth to a nation within our nation of England. Now, if we're losing thousands of churches every year, and in 17 years we've increased our population by almost 52 million people, don't tell me we don't need new churches. Logic tells us we have to have new churches. Not just the Bible tells us, logic tells us, the numbers tell us. Let me give you the fifth one. We have to plant new churches because many Baptist churches are not growing. And I just hate to say it. I mean, I'm a Baptist. I know there are good people that aren't Baptist, but someone said to me, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I said, I'd be ashamed. I mean... The fact is, many of our churches are not growing. It's an indictment. You know, we're quick sometimes to point out all the problems with everybody else. Well, let me help you. We've got our own issues. And our Baptist churches are not growing. There are some 90,000 Baptist churches in our country. If those 90,000 Baptist churches were on flame, I mean, they were passionate, intentional, fired up, healthy, we could turn this thing around. But the reality is, they're not. The average size of those 90,000 Baptist churches is 124 people. That's the average size. And you know what the growth rate is? 0.5% a year. Minimal. Minimal growth rate. Now, by the way, if our churches are only growing at 0.5% a year on average, that means our finances to support missions and church planters are probably growing at about 0.5% a year, which is far too feeble to keep up with what we heard tonight and with what I'm sharing with you tonight. Folks, don't take what's happening at this place for granted. This is a great church. God's doing some great things here. Thank the Lord for it. Listen, Sharon and I go to churches we wouldn't want to be sentenced to. I mean that with all due kindness. I mean, some of them are sad, sad, sad. Let me give you the next one. Number six. Historically, because gospel preaching churches form the greatest source of resources for international missions endeavor. In other words, if you go back and you look at what's happening around the world, you will see that our country in the last generation or two, we've had the greatest part in that, historically. That is, we have provided the resources, manpower, and money. And by the way, you have to have both of them. You can have all the money in the world, but if nobody's willing to go. And you can have all the people in the world that want to go, but if you don't have any money, it takes both. So when I talk about resources, it's servants to go and funds to help them go. But here's what I'm driving at. There was a day, and you would know this better than I, there was a day when England occupied that position in the world. The greatest sending nation in the world was in Taylor. Men like William Carey, C.T. Studd, J. Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, Robert Morrison, Robert Moffat, and the list goes on. And they may not be exactly like we are, but I promise you, they carried the gospel to the dark corners of the world. And God's people in England supported them in their endeavor to do that. And then, as they declined, the United States of America rose, and God allowed us to take that place. Investing in church planting today results on missionaries on foreign fields tomorrow. You know, in a new church, how many have been part of a brand new church? Anybody in here? I mean, in a brand new church, there is just a pioneering spirit that you cannot explain. And there's just something about it. I mean, it is an incredible experience. You don't have anything. You don't have a building. But there's something there. God just is so alive in the hearts of those people who gather. And there's such an energy. It's infectious. And such a pioneering spirit. And that contributes to men and women surrendering to the call of God on their life. It also results in dollars being invested in missions tomorrow. Back when I served as president of Trinity Baptist College, we did something for our missions conference. We went back 15 and 20 years earlier to five church planters that had been sent out of our college. Different places, one in Florida, one in Rhode Island, one out in Oregon, I forget all the places, but there were five places in missions. And we went back and we found out from those men, how much money did you receive in mission support when you started your church from scratch? And to be honest with you, while they all received some amount of money, it was pretty minimal. But then we asked them, now, you're 15 to 20 years out, what is your missions budget today that you're spending on church planting in America and missions literally around the world? And what we discovered was, though there was a minimal investment in their church planting endeavor when they started, the combination of those five churches that were now 15 to 20 years old had a combined missions budget of over $500,000 a year. See, little is much when God is in it. Little is much. So someone planted the seed and supported those church planters as they went out, had faith in what they would do. Those guys had some vision. You're going to meet one Wednesday night. Works with us at Church Planting America. And I'll not tell his story, but it's an exciting story. He's about 6 months into it. People make that investment. They give, they support, they pray, they encourage. But there comes a day when that church begins to give back. And they start planting churches. And they start supporting missionaries. There's a young man up in, you know, Mike Herdzik. Mike Herdzik is a CPA, Church Planting America missionary, up outside of Buffalo, New York. Church is about 2.5 years old. They already support 5 missionaries. Pastors on full time, have their own building. God's doing some great things. Wonderful things. The way we support. Let me give you the 7th reason. Because new churches can change the way we support missionaries. Now let me explain that. The way we support missionaries as independent Baptists have been in place for about 60 or 70 years. And the strategy basically was based on this. Let's support as many missionaries as we can from as many countries as possible. And it sounds really, really good. So what short churches did is every missionary that came through, if they didn't have a flag from that country, meaning representing a missionary serving in that country, they added that missionary to their missions budget. And they gave them a whopping $20 or $30. Well, you know what? That's not going to cut it. $40 isn't going to cut it. But we're in this kind of this paradigm. And it's very difficult for established churches to get out of that paradigm because they've got all these missionaries that they're supporting for small amounts of money. New churches can change the paradigm. New churches can support fewer missionaries for a greater sum of money and make a greater investment in that missionary's life. So it's not just about money. It's about getting to know them in a personal way. It's about understanding what is really happening in their life and their ministry. Listen, every missionary is grateful for every penny they receive. Don't misunderstand me. But there must be a better way, and there is. And that better way is fewer missionaries at a larger amount. Number one, it gets them to the field much quicker. Deputation. I don't know if you're familiar with that word, but it's a process whereby missionaries who want to go to the mission field, whether to plant a church in the States or around the world, they travel from church to church and present their vision, present their work, and churches decide whether they can or will support them. Well, that's a grueling process. They got to tromp around maybe to 10 churches to get one church to say, yes, we can support you. It's difficult. Not only are they doing that, but keep this in mind, they're toting their family along too. It's kind of like going on a job interview every week, but you have your wife and kids for the job interview. And if the kids wiggle too much or the wife talks too much or too little, you don't get it. It's just grueling. This will get them to the field quicker. Then when they come home on the third or fourth year for a little bit of rest, we call it furlough. It's anything but rest if you have to visit 130 churches. And by the way, in some churches, boy, if you don't get there to visit us, then we're going to drop your support. There's got to be a better way. And there is. A greater commitment by the church is reflected in greater ministry, greater concern for their family. And by the way, the more money you put into something, the more you want to see it succeed. Let's be honest. You want to see it succeed. You want to see it work and grow. So we can change the paradigm through church planting. And then let me give you what I believe is the last one. Because the world has come to America. We saw it tonight. It's coming. The world has come to America. Not just the Muslim. population. In an enormous volumes. But you realize there are over 100,000 Vietnamese in San Jose, California. And right now, the Vietnamese, you don't have to go to Vietnam, you can go to San Jose. In fact, we're working with a church planter right now in San Jose. There's 1 million people in San Jose. And of those 1 million, 100,000 of them are Vietnamese. There's 65,000 Hmong people, H-M-O-N-G, Hmong people, that live in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Those are the hill people from Cambodia. 65,000. Who's going to reach those people? 200,000 Filipinos live in the New York City area. And that's not the largest population base. California is the largest population base for Filipinos. Every year I preach in Filipino churches. In fact, next August, Sharon and I will be there, 3 missions conferences in a row in Filipino churches. What we call the mother church, the first church. The first time I preach there, they're take about half the crowd over here. That's about what we had the first time I preached there back in 1988 or 89. I've been there many times now where the attendance has exceeded 1,000. In fact, their faith promise goes well over $200,000 every year. And they've birthed, I think they're on their 4th or 5th new church out of that one church. Filipinos. There are 10 cities in the United States with a Native American population greater than 20,000, including the 3 largest cities in the United States, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. 13% of our country has a black, our population is black, and by the way, we have failed miserably there to reach that population. 16.7% of the U.S. population is Hispanic, and that's growing. We're not doing the job there. New York City area is the home of this Jewish community outside of Israel. I could go on and on and on. The world has come to America. We can reach the nations of the world by planting churches here in America. If you doubt that the world has come to America, all you have to do is go to Detroit and you will see more Muslims than you could ever imagine in Dearborn. I promise you. In closing, here's my challenge. Some of you should consider giving your life to plant a church. You may not even know what in the world, how in the world you'd go about that. But maybe God is tugging at your heart through the worship time or the video time or this message. And you say, God, I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. God may be speaking to your heart. We can help you. Number 2, become involved in your church's faith promise giving program. That grace giving. Get involved in that grace giving. Say, we already are. Do more. Do your best. Number 3, pray fervently for your missionaries and church planters. And number 4, follow your pastor's vision to make this the strongest and healthiest church possible. So it will remain not just a lighthouse here in this community, but a sending institution to send out missionaries and church planters all across America and the world. Wouldn't it be neat in a future missions conference? I was just in a missions conference in Milford, Ohio, First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. Preached that conference 2 weeks ago. Here's what impressed me. The pastor said, all of our missionaries, all of the folks that once were members of our church that were called to the mission field out of our congregation happened here. And there were at least 30 missionary families that stood to their feet. That can happen here. Now, some of those were church planters here in America. Some were foreign field. Some were engaged in other types of ministry. 30 families. Why can't that be here? Why can't God start plucking some folks out of this church to go plant churches, to go somewhere? He can. Wouldn't that be thrilling? Folks, God has given to this church much. 5.5 years ago. How long have you been here? Six? 6.5. No, 5.5 years. I came the first time. And there were about this many folks on Sunday morning. And then we went to that second service. And then God help us that third service. And now here we are. The balcony. To whom much is given, much is required.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.